Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 46. My name is Zoinks, and you are listening to a competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. We have a lot to talk about tonight on the show. We don't have any specific topic, except maybe the future. Gestures everywhere for podcast listeners. But to bring me to all these new, exciting places that we are going to be going to, I have brought three incredible minds of Unite that talk about all kinds of interesting stuff that we have coming to Unite. Let's start out with some introductions. The first will be maybe the most returning guest to the show. I know you're one of the contenders for that title, so Feppy, say what's up to everybody listening.
Hi, I'm Feppy. I'm the support player for Team TOS. I'm well known as like one of the main Strat guys in the pro scene. I do all the fun stuff, and I do a lot of streaming content now. I'm trying to push a lot more streaming content now during the off season. So
sure. Yeah, well, hopefully we're near the tail end of the offseason. We don't actually know. There's one thing that is unfortunately not leaked, so unfortunate, but yeah. We'll get to that eventually. Next up, we have player James Bond of Unite, is something I've called him in the past, but also, I'm going to ride that high for life. We also have a coach as well. Why don't you introduce yourself, Junkie?
I liked that intro. I don't know if I can really introduce myself further than that. Hello. Great. I played the game competitively, and then I coached the game competitively, and then I own Eos Frontier, which is a competitive cool server, and then I'm enjoying off season, and hopefully, as you will see, there's a lot of things that will hopefully be balanced before the new season starts, and then I will then start playing competitive again. Did not know I coached. Yeah, I coached Apprentice Unleashed at Worlds. We don't ask about how they did.
Okay.
You ask the players how the experience it was as me coaching. Like, that I'll stand by. The others.
Okay, yeah. We're all about not results here.
We're not result-based analysts. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Because like, if you think about it, right, if we did result-based analysts, right, then Gaming Gladiators would have the six best players in every role. And we know that's not true, so then
okay, now we got a new can of worms to open up. Let's move on. We're just an intros junkie. Jesus Christ.
Thing, you know what I mean?
Another coach, this one, who definitely has to be thinking results-based because of the amazing resume you've built up already. Lazadin, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, I'm Lazadin, also known as Ven. I was the analyst for Team Ascended, known as Blackhand at the time. For the World Championship, I was Team TOS coach for regionals. I coached one or two smaller teams before that, not really important. I am one of the admins on UniteDB/TheMathCord. I moderate every Unite Discord in existence. I don't know how I just end up with all of them. It just happens.
You're just there.
Yeah.
The Thanos of Unite Discords.
Oh, not quite yet. As soon as
I've got the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. He's gathered it. No. We're not quite we haven't snapped yet, but it's the potential is there. A lot of potential.
One
dude,
day.
There's some days I'm sure we're all tempted to, you know, just
True. Again, not this episode. Today, we are going to be talking about the future of things Unite. Of course, known and very reputable leaker El Chico Eevee. They've had some misses in the past, so take all these things with a grain of salt. But we are going to be talking about all kinds of leaks that have been coming towards Unite that are very, and I emphasis on very, relevant to the competitive scene of Pokemon Unite, which is why we're going to be talking about it on the podcast. So without further ado, we're just going to jump directly to it, and we are going to bring up El Chico Eevee's Twitter, because I think that's the best spot to go. Let's take a look. All right, first subject of discussion. This was leaked a little bit earlier, but leaks a real big term to actually call this. This was out on the public test server. Urushifu and Dragapult are the two new Pokemon coming to Pokemon Unite. Both have pretty interesting builds and movesets. Urushifu definitely is well known in the VGC side of things for having two kind of build paths, even in VGC, similar to something that we've seen with Scyther and Scizor. I really just think we're going to see, you know, two separate moves. Very interesting. Brawly all around. Surging Strikes is kind of their iconic move, so I know we'll see that one into it. Does anyone have any specific things they want to talk about Urushifu, or forever hold your peace?
I think that Urushifu is interesting. And I think the most interesting thing about it is the fact that it's the first legendary that's been added to the game. Not mythical. We've had several of those. It's the first legendary.
Is Urshifu actually not mythical?
It is not, no.
Interesting.
It's classified as legendary. It's not restricted either.
Okay. Very cool.
So that all of a sudden is the... That's one more of the, well, this Pokemon can't be added because X thing's out the window. Now the only one left is babies. Babies are the only thing off the table now.
Yeah, and I really would be shocked if we ever got to be. However, if they had a quick mode where you only play as the baby versions of every Pokemon, but you still get, like, the same moves. Can you imagine running around as Riolu, but with, like, close combat? That would be... hilarious. I think that would be so interesting. But yeah, that would be super hype. But okay. Wait, did I actually, is it Urshifu? Okay, I'm sorry, chat, already. I usually pride myself so well on seeing Pokemon names correctly, so my apologies, chat. Whatever you think the correct pronunciation is, that's what I said, so don't worry about it. All right.
Venusaur.
All right, well, that seems like you're just seeing things. But, Jokey and Feppy, do you two have any more opinions on this Pokemon that I will not name again?
No, I would say Ven probably brought the most interesting point that I thought that, like, it unlocks kind of that Pandora's box of what legendaries we can see in the future.
Sure.
Sadly, as, like, the number one Togepi stan in the Unite community, that, like, breaks my heart that baby Pokemon are, like, the prohibited one and, like, Togetic is not iconic enough to be brought in, so I hope this is, like, you know, a little bit of a push towards maybe them being open about other things, but that's, like, super copium on my part. But I would say I'm kind of, like, I don't know how I feel about, like, how many, like, melee all-arounders this game is having, because I think it puts... Well, obviously, they want to sell, right? Like, we've seen them with kind of adapting their release strategies of, like, having Zoroark with the skin, right? And things like that. Like, so when you have champions that are going to be, like, filling a similar role, the only way to kind of make them stand out and get people excited and purchase them is if they're OP. And I feel like it might become a competition of just, like, stat checking and not really, like, one is more skill expressive over the other, so you can technically play this. Is going to just be, like, this one has stats that are just so overkill or whatever that it kind of, you know, makes a lot more Pokemon irrelevant. So that's something that kind of concerns me, especially when it has the double options, right? Where it has, you know, double the odds of being broken on release. So those are the things that popped into my mind.
Yeah, just like,
But yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, just like Scizor had doubled the odds of being broken on... Oh, right.
Ah, yes. You know, interesting.
They rolled double negatives. That's all right. Maybe Ursi will be double positives.
Right. Broken that clock. Would be right. Funny. Broken clock and all that. Feppy, any thoughts on this Pokemon?
I mean, seems like we covered it pretty well. I mean, I've always been really, really partial. And my guilty pleasure in MOBAs is form switching mons. So, like, you know, any character that I'll, like, start off as one thing and then swap to another thing and then, like, swap back and forth. It doesn't look like this is quite that character. It looks like you're still going to be dedicated to one specific move. I can't really tell for sure, but if you're switching between the two moves a lot, that'd be nice. That's one of the reasons why Mew is my favorite character to play in this game. It's just, I like being able to, like, constantly switch my moves and adapt to situations. Now, obviously, that character's broken, but, you know, besides the point. my point is I like those types of mons and that type of concept in MOBAs. And any mon that I see that has, like, these interesting, like, switching mechanics, like Scizor is another easy example, as we mentioned, is, like, I'm always very, very interested in these, and I hope that they continue to experiment and do this type of stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah, totally agree. I am fully on board with you there. I think the Pokemon that they have been adding to the game have been... That's what I've been singing, honestly, to the rooftops for so long, is that the design of these new Pokemon are actually exceptional in my mind. I think they've done a really good job of adapting known popular Pokemon to make them feel really cool, you know, kind of makes that fantasy of, like, I am playing this Pokemon, it feels like I am playing this Pokemon. I think they've been nailing that lately. I don't see that changing at all with these Pokemon being added. Of course, the power level and everything is our main concern and everybody here, but yeah. Okay, well, let's continue on past this Pokemon. The next next Pokemon that, of course, is in is Dragapult, ghost type being my absolute favorite type in the game. I am eating fantastic in Pokemon Unite. I think this will be our seventh edition after Sableye. So very, very exciting. This Pokemon brings a few unique things, but Lazanin, you were mentioning that this Pokemon is a very interesting mechanic with its Unite move. Do you want to care to explain how that one works?
Yeah, so at least in the current build, obviously this stuff can change. Its Unite move is more akin to a basic move where it has a cooldown and it has multiple charges and you can just press it. Exactly this will interact with stuff like Energy Amp and Buddy Berry, we don't know yet, but it could potentially be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be really interesting. Obviously, that is the most iconic or thing that stands out definitely with this Pokemon. It's easily the most unique. As you can see here as well, it has some sort of invisibility. I believe its passive has already been confirmed to be Infiltrator, which is its passive in VGC. So I could see some invis be there. Sableye has a very similar mechanic here. If you get close enough to an enemy Pokemon, they see you. And if they are looking at you, if you're not behind them, they see you quicker. So I could very much see that mechanic being taken over into Dragapult somehow. I'm not sure if they would just duplicate it. That seems very strange, but we'll see how Invis works on Dragapult. Feppy, any thoughts on this Pokemon? Anything you're really excited for? Oh, sorry. No, go ahead, Lesnar. What were you saying?
Yeah. It's notable that they don't show Dreepy turning Invis. They show Dracloak turning Invis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible that it's a secondary move that's turning Invis.
Yeah.
And that's why they didn't show Dreepy.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, I believe that's what Shadow Snake does on Sableye as well. Just, you know, he lets it hit that passive a bit quicker. So I'm sure there will be a move that hits that into an overdrive. Any more thoughts on these two new Pokemon that we're seeing? These are not all the new Pokemon that we're going to be talking about. There are some other ones, but this one, just a ranged attacker, seems really solid. Like a fun mage-style attack-based ranged attacker. So it's been a little bit since we've had one of those. So seems kind of cool.
I'm a bit worried about having three basic abilities as opposed to two basics and a Unite. I mean, obviously, Unites are extremely, extremely powerful moves, right? But
sure.
There's a lot of characters that with two basic abilities can one-shot people, right? Like, it's really concerning to have a character that has three basic abilities. A lot of people forget how strong basic abilities are in this game. I mean, in a lot of other MOBAs, like, basic abilities are, like, really long cooldowns, expend a ton of resources, and don't just instantly one-shot you. Like, I'm really, really worried about a third basic ability on a Mon, because, you know, two is already really, really strong on most characters in the game, and there's a lot of characters you don't even pick them for their Unite moves, you just pick them for their basic abilities.
Sure.
So to see...
there's some inverse is true, though, too. There's some where they're viable basically only because of how good their Unite is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I'm just very, very worried about this is a design space that I didn't expect them to actually utilize. Mm-hmm. And I'm a bit worried about the combination of like having three basic abilities and then also having your basic ability like interact with like Energy Amp or Buddy Barrier or something like that. And it's causing some really weird broken stuff. So I'm a bit concerned about this one.
Okay, fair. I think one thing, and I've already seen some people in our chat discussing it, something that we were bringing up before the show, all of us, what do we think this Pokemon will do when interacting with held items like Energy Amplifier or even Buddy Berry? Now, Buddy Berry has a 30-second cooldown, so won't be as abusable, if you will, but Energy Amplifier or even just the normal buffs you gain when using your Unite move as a Pokemon in Unite, do we think this Pokemon will gain that? Everything is theory crafting now. So anybody have any strong opinions on what will happen when a Unite move actually is used?
Notably, when they made this switch to Thea, they also made a change to the Unite buff, where it is no longer universal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually not particularly worried about that. Because they could just make it a shitty buff.
They could. They do have the ability to do that. I don't trust them to do that. But yes, continue, Les.
Yes, like at least that's adjustable, right? Like they can just give it a worse, like they can give it like 30% speed and like a 10% shield. Oh boy,
yeah.
But the energy, like Buddy Barrier, is probably not super abusable. 25% is not a lot of HP to begin with, especially on what looks like a squishy attacker. And then like, you know, 30-second cooldown. A 14-second cooldown on a 4-second 21% damage boost is concerning.
Sure.
very concerning and mm-hmm. possibly very, very abusable. So that's like, I'm hoping that they have things in place to prevent that from being super obnoxious, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that interaction's like meta defining if it works.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not like there's other held items that you really desperately want on this Pokemon that you could drop something like Energy in for. That buff would just be crazy, crazy strong. Junkie, any thoughts on Dragapult and how its interactions are going to work in-game?
They kind of both took, you know, my answers.
Sure,
really.
I mean...
Like, those are the... Yeah, that's like, I think... like, I think we know, like, the balance team isn't the most... proactive / reactive, I think, okay. both of them. So I'm very interested to see if they open up that kind of Pandora's box of altering how certain items work with only specific Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, I think that could lead to a lot more interesting meta shifts, hopefully more consistent patches or hot fixes to address meta concerns in a more immediate way rather than sometimes letting them kind of fester for 1 or 2 months. So I think that's what I'm interested to see, because as we know, the developers aren't very transparent with kind of their thinking behind it. You kind of have to look at their actions, read between the lines, etc. Mm-hmm. So if they make this one exception, I would be interested to see moving forward if they'd be willing to do that also.
It is worth noting that they have actually nerfed an item in a way that only affected one character at the time. Back on release, Charizard could proc Muscle Band 4 times.
Oh, yeah.
That was good a times. Little silly. and it was, like, everybody still thought the character was D tier. I don't know. But the...
Join Math Cord. Yeah, play. Yeah. exclamation mark Math Cord, whatever.
But anyway, do you have that command in your chat? I did leave that.
No, I don't. Please don't spam that in my chat.
But anyway, like, you can, so it's not impossible for them to change that, right? Like, it's not something they haven't done before. And obviously, like, the specific change they did do to Muscle Band affects all Pokemon now, and thank goodness it did, because can you imagine Decidueye with 5 Muscle Band procs? That's hilarious.
yeah.
But yeah, so, like, it's not out of the question, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think. That definitely did restore a little bit of my faith in what Junkie was saying. That could be a solution to be brought out. I definitely was worried about something. But yeah, it could be. I think a lot of this is just predicated on how strong Dragapult's kit is already. Like, I mean, even with those buffs, if it doesn't give it too much otherwise, it could be a niche way to play a Pokemon. If you really want to play something with weird, you know, weird janky items to just have to make it work, then yeah, cool, Dragapult could be a fun option. We'll see. I don't know. There's a lot of theory crafting when it comes with these Pokemon, because we don't have that many answers quite yet. But let's keep moving on. After all of our moves, yes, Unite move, it's a regular move, has 2 charges on a 10-second cooldown. Very, very neat. We know the names of Urshifu, whatever. now I'm so nervous I'm going to get it wrong. Let's talk about held items. Yeah, Urshifu, thank you. Let's talk about held items. We got 6, count them on 2 hands, not just 1, held items and 1 new battle item. Let's take a look at the battle item first, because it's something I really, really want to talk about. Sheninja doll. Essentially, this looks to me like it's just Stopwatch from League. Am I correct? Is this wrong?
I think it should be the case, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. For anyone who does not know what Stopwatch is in League, it's just essentially a stasis item. You press a button, you are completely immune to everything. Hindrances, status conditions, damage, effects of attacks, etc. for a short amount of time. However, you are completely immobile and cannot do anything for that time. I don't believe we know the amount of time that you are in this stasis quite yet. However, this item is on a 60-second cooldown, which... shares, what else is on 60 right now? Is eject button at 60? No, is that 90, right?
Eject button's 70.
At 70 now, okay. So very similar to something like an eject button.
Goalgetter was on 60 for like 1 patch.
Right, yeah. Then oh no, retreat.
You get 2 potions for every Sheninja doll. That's the way to think of it.
I'm not sure anyone will think of it that way.
Hey, potion's the standard item to go off of. That's the first item you get.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Paula in chat saying that using a Dragapult's Unite move does not give it a Unite buff. So at least that's the prevailing theory. So a lot of our discussion, forget it. Anyway, Paula,
you'll find out tomorrow morning when like three or four people start streaming PTS at like 3 a.m.
Exactly. We'll get into it. Okay, thoughts on Stasis, Shedinja Doll. I don't know the actual English translation of what this item will be called, but what are our thoughts on this item? Is it exciting? I feel like Sabot is a pretty generally hated item in League, at least from what I've seen, so I don't know about it.
Yeah. It's definitely like very hated, very
right.
What's the word I'm looking for? Notorious item. In case people don't know, background. League has a rune system. One of the runes is getting the stopwatch for free. You get it earlier based off of how many kills you get, etc. And competitive, like, was super, super pissed at this. It led to, like, a lot of unhealthy metas, things not being meta, etc., because of how easy it was to do. They had to do several changes to it, like how much it could sell for, how much, you know, it can be bought for separately from the rune and other things like that. So it was definitely, like, a headache for them to balance. I think we have to keep in mind that Unite is going to have similar problems, but like I think because like what made it so powerful was in League, especially during certain metas, it was like games decided by one or two fights, and if you could have this during that fight, it didn't matter what you kind of gave up earlier in exchange to take it as a rune or stuff like that, you won the game, it's okay. With Unite, every game goes to late game, right? Unless you surrender, right? Yep. It's always going to 10 minutes. There is always going to be a make or break fight. While in League, that sometimes may not be the case, but it most of the time is. So I think that provides it a lot of value. I think the way that the new map is designed, there is a lot more opportunity for people to get picked off, to get poked out, etc. And I think that then provides it a lot of value. And then I would say lastly, like a lot of people don't have too, like, yes, like battle items, some battle items are necessary on certain Pokemon, but I think there's a lot more flexibility with this rather than, you know, sometimes in League, you had to pick the certain tree that had the watch and then it's like, all right, well, I'm kind of just stuck with this, right? So I think the fact that it's on 60 second cooldown, it's like you can have it up for every objective fight, which is insane. I think the meta being as burst heavy and if everything feels like it 100-0s you, it just I think it'll provide a lot of value in the fact that there will always be these guaranteed objective huge team fights. I think will be big, but it also can be one of those things where it lasts like not even a second and then it's like, oh shit, all right, I got a frame perfect it, you know, and then you, you know, so I think it all depends on how much time you get in League. It's like 2.5 seconds. So if that's around there, then I think that's great. If it's less than that or, you know, 1 second, or it may not be that big of a deal, but it definitely has the potential to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely true. Feppy, thoughts on this? I know you haven't played a ton of League, but I'm sure the other mechanics in other games you've played similar. What are you feeling about having Stopwatch or Shedinja Doll added to the game?
I'm pumped. It's going to be so much fun. Oh, yeah. I love skill expressive battle items. I love skill expressive items. Any item that is very, very, you know, that is very, very flexible, has a lot of things it can do. It's very, very, you know, can be very, very powerful when used correctly, but if used wrong, can absolutely punish you, right? So my favorite battle item is eject button. It always has been, probably always will be, but this might eclipse it now, right? But it's one of those items that, like, it's going to highly depend on how it functions. Like, first of all, if you can cancel it early, it's going to be infinitely better than if you just press it and you're stuck, right?
You can cancel this early, right?
If you're stuck in, let's say, like, you press the button and you're stuck in a spot for, like, 1 second and you can't do anything, that's a lot worse than if you're stuck in a spot for 1 second, but you can cancel it early, right? Yeah. So this item could potentially be meta-defining and game-breaking, but it also could just be useless because you're stuck in the spot for 2 or 3 seconds as your entire team dies, and then you just go, oh, well, I guess my team's dead. What do I do now?
Right? Yeah, that's true. Also, but Breadbox, they were mentioning in chat, they're wondering if it's going to get localized to Substitute. I doubt it, since Froakie already has access to the move Substitute in-game. I doubt they would make it a... I doubt they would have some kind of confusing naming mechanic like that in the game. But I'm sorry, Feppy, I cut you off. Any more thoughts on Sheninja Doll?
As with anything in any multiplayer game, there's the potential that this thing could just get out of hand and be broken, right? But
sure,
I like these types of mechanics in principle. I just hope they don't mess it up.
Okay. Well, everything seems totally fine. It seems great. Lazanin, thoughts on Sheninja Doll?
I don't see a world where this is balanced at 60 seconds.
Yeah, this one could see the uptick on timer for sure.
So like Junkie said, one of the things that made Stopwatch so disgustingly powerful was the one or two very key game turning fights. Mm-hmm. Unite doesn't have one or two game turning fights. It has like 4 or 5. It depends on the match, obviously. But
yeah.
The thing is, how often is your like game affecting fights happening less than 60 seconds apart? Mm-hmm. Almost never. So this is just always going to be there, which means that it's either going to be a reasonable duration and going to be overpowered as hell,
mm-hmm.
or it's not going to be good enough. And there's no real in between at 60 seconds, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. The cooldown timer is sort of make or break on this item for me. I don't even really care about how long the effect of it is. I think if it's cancelable, this item is S tier, you know, triple S tier. This item is broken. I don't think it'll be that way. I think it'll be on a set timer. Now, yeah, the cooldown on it is very, very important. I think we could see this ticked all the way up to like 90. Like, put this up with score, like with Goal Getter. I think we could see it set to that point. There's two things that I want to mention about Sheninja Doll. First, I am so excited for the first team fight of 5v5, and they're all rushing together, and I get to cast it. And then there's just 5 Sheninja Dolls staring at each other for 2 seconds. And just the weird fringe case where every player clicks the button at the exact same time. And then we wait for 3 seconds and the fight continues. That's going to be amazing. Cannot wait until that happens. Two, I think the item is interesting. I have concerns because of how toxic and bad it was in League. However, the skill expression is there, both using it and when you know your opponent has it. I think that is a pretty awesome part of Unite, is that you can see the battle item that your enemy team is bringing in. You know that person has Sheninja Doll. Before you use your wombo combo, you gotta force out that item. Like, there's just no winning that team fight unless you have baited out their doll. So now you have to plan with your team, coordinate over comms, who's got doll, who doesn't. Same thing as you do already with eject button or focus band in early game. So I think that there are some skill expression things that will be exciting. I'm more worried about it than I am excited about it, but we'll see when it actually comes up, how it turns into, but... We do have to move on. We've talked a lot about this first battle item already. I think because it's got like so many warning signs in my head is why I dwelt on it for so long. But let's keep on cruising on the Twitter. This is the big one. This is what everybody is here for. Draft mode. We've had it rumored for honestly months and months and months. But finally, we have it on our screen. We have a picture of the UI, how it's going to look. We can kind of garner a little bit of how this system is going to operate. As per rumor, it looks like both teams get one ban. You can suggest bans to your team. You can suggest picks to your team and indicate what you are going to be selecting. So for ranked wise, this makes a lot of sense. You know, just that communication item, since not many players use voice and things like that. But anyway, the biggest game changer to Unite since launch by far is going to be the addition of draft mode into the game. This is what it looks like. Fresh off the press, first reactions. Junkie, talk to me about draft mode in Unite.
First things first, please go to the fourth picture.
Okay.
In this collage. Roger.
3. I think this is 4. Is this what you're looking for? The ask for help button? Yeah.
That I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, but it that's gonna be thumbnail bait.
Like,
for
I feel
sure.
like this is such like meme a bait of just like your team is like banning your pick or something, or like they want to draft like the most troll pick ever. And you're just like, help me,
for help,
like save me from the solo queuers trolling me. Draft pick is really interesting. I think it was leaked that in custom games you can have 0, 1, or 2 bans on both sides, so I think that's awesome. I think the game, with the rate that the characters are coming out, I think it's more than fair to have 1 or 2 bans.
Hold on. Go back. What did you just say?
On the custom game modes, like when you make games and stuff like that, someone did leak that you can have the option of having 0 bans, 1 ban, or 2 bans.
Oh, that is
so, like,
so
nice.
I love that.
That, you know, I think makes a lot of sense because we have, like, I think almost 50 characters soon approaching. I think that
we're about to hit that 50 mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it just makes sense. So I think that makes sense to me. It aligns with what they're doing. I'm going to speak from two different points. I think the standard player base and then competitive standpoint. Competitive standpoint, I think it's incredible, amazing. Yeah. I am hesitant because what will make or break this is what UCS defines as the rules for it, right?
Sure.
They could, even though it seems super troll, they could easily do for UCS no bans. They just want to showcase every Pokemon, like everything, like no bans, but you can draft, you know, they can also have 2 bans. Mm-hmm. Like it will. I think that is what I'm concerned about the most is the standard that they set for that.
Before you jump to the next one, can we talk about that? Let's talk about specifically UCS and like rules and deciding that.
Mm-hmm.
UCS and rulings on how competitive formats are decided, how tournaments are structured, mm-hmm. how seeding is decided, how points are awarded, all of these things, they, in my mind, are easier to change than game design flaws or mm-hmm. you know, developer mm-hmm. ideals. When you know, when people are outraged on Twitter, when they're trying to, you know, change something, it is way harder to change the mind of the developer and the you know, the dream that they have for this game that like they're designing that they love. It's going to be harder to change that. UCS, in my opinion, I know other people are going to have very different opinions, are open to changes across certain things, especially as they took a lot of feedback about year number one and are wanting to change things in year number two. I can personally guarantee that. If you are listening and you run tournaments in any capacity, if you have a community who just have, you have like 10 people show up for customs once every 2 weeks or something in your lobby, run the crap out of these out of this draft format. Run it so much, test it a bajillion times. If you're running tournaments, use this in-game mode as much as you possibly can. Try different things. My dog's reached for something. Try multiple things. Do what you can, because any information and feedback will help influence their decision and will have the mm-hmm. the best option. But that is my rant on that is community. Like, now is the time to step up to influence a decision for the competitive community. Like, now is the time. Well, whenever this gets launched in game,
mm-hmm.
run PTS tournaments. Probably don't do that. But go ahead, Les. What are you saying?
I can tell you, like, they're watching. Like, I know there's plenty of, like, most of the UCS people, they play the game just like us. They consume mm-hmm. the same content we do. They visit a lot of the same discords. They see what people think.
Oh yeah.
And if you like, you know, like there's a chance if you're just posted shit somewhere, they might see it, you know?
It's true. Also quick shout out El Chico Eevee in the chat. Thank you so much for providing the entire content for this week's podcast episode. Thank you very much. Thank you for showing up in chat. I hope you're well loved. Someone throw a gift sub their direction for me, please. Okay, I'm sorry, continue, Lazard.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, so like that's a like just keep that in mind, right? Like mm-hmm. there's always going to be like they are like very willing to listen.
Yep.
So I'm not super worried about UCS itself. But I don't know. Junkie was not done at this point yet, so I'll wait until he's done to get through all this.
Sure.
I think that's a good segue into my other perspective of just the standard average player. They are not going to like this, most likely.
Yeah.
Like, the average player, you have, like, we, like, there are so many, like, bubbles within Unite. Like, yeah. There is, you know, people that even go out and search content about Unite is a bubble, right? People that bother to join Reddits, Discords, etc. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, the master players. Then there's the competitive scene. And then there's, like, the competitive scene, right? And then right. There's, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, bubbles that we're in that it's, like, easy for us to kind of get trapped in that and, like, lose sight of that. And, like, yeah. I think one of the first instances where I saw them make a decision that didn't align with us but I actually thought was smart was them making Masters easier. Like, everyone hated that. They think Masters should, like, mean something, and I get that. Like, personally, I agree. But the idea is that we're supposed to be growing this fan base and this, like, player base, sorry, and what makes people feel drawn to a game is feeling like they're good at it. It's as simple as that, right? So the fact that you lower the barrier to entry, people are then more likely to buy the skin. They're more likely to buy the Pokemon. They're more likely to keep playing because sure. They think, oh, I'm Masters. This is the one game I'm good at. I want to keep being active in it, right? So I thought that was, like, a smart business decision, not, like, something best for competitive, right? So it's very similar with this, where I know Pokemon Company is hyper aware of attention spans. They have done interviews where they've talked about in mainstream Pokemon games where they are hyper aware of the fact that there are so many kids that could just turn off their Switch at any moment and turn on their phone and never pick up the Pokemon game again, right? So it's something that they, like, have incorporated into their design philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that this game is meant to, right, it's short, it's 10 minutes, people want to get in, get out, and stuff like that. I think if they make a draft system in ranked for all ranks have bans in draft, I think, like, the average player will be upset by that.
Sure.
So I'm very curious about if they know that and are aware of that, which they seem to be. I'm interested to see if this is something that they only implement at Masters Plus. I think that meets the best of both worlds of people that are playing Masters are more likely to be more competitive, more likely to get something out of this strategy and mm-hmm. the depth that draft can be provided and not kind of hurt Joe Schmo who just bought Charizard and just wants to play Charizard and now wait, Charizard's banned. Okay, I'm turning off the app. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we don't know for sure that this is... Yeah, well, exactly. I was just going to say, we don't know where this lands. Like, is draft mode... I mean, it's in tourney mode because we talked about how it's customizable in custom games. It's there. Great. Is it in ranked? Is it only a certain amount of ranked? I'm not too sure. El Chico, I see you in chat, so if you want to drop where you can play ranked, that'd be awesome. Or where you can play drafts.
It's impossible to tell off of PTS, for the record.
Sweet. Entirely. Never mind. Cool.
Because Thea on PTS looked like it was only for standard. It looked like it wasn't going to be available in ranked.
That was so funny. I remember that was happening at Worlds, and the entire time, like, everyone was talking about that. They're like, it's a whole new map, but it's only a standard. And Spragles was just like, zero chance. Like, he was like, to every person, they're like, no, but, like, it's in there. And he's like, I know that's what it says, but, like, it's not.
It was really, the PTS really has alternative queue structuring. It only has a ranked mode.
Okay, that's got why. Got it. All right. Well, I do have to ask Feppy. We have not gotten your input here on the draft mode in Unite. What do you think about this specific draft mode? The UI could probably use work. Everything in Unite UIs could definitely use work. But what are your opinions on it? Casual, competitive, all those kind of things. We are competitively focused. I think it's pretty much check marks across the board in that regard. But still, to you, what do you what does this draft mode mean?
About time.
Yeah. We're finally done the beta, folks. We're finally done the beta of Unite.
It feels like that at times. But, it really does.
In all seriousness, I've been a huge, huge advocate for draft for at least 9 months now, and now it might finally be a thing. Like, oh, okay. Took a bit too long, but, you know, it's here.
Sure.
None of that matters anymore. It's here. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Okay.
The thing that makes me the most happy about draft mode and what I've brought up in the past is, especially in the past, like, 4 or 5 months, like, one of the biggest problems with the competitive scene is that a lot of the times there tends to only be, like 6 or 7 characters that are, like, super viable and super strong.
Sure.
And the reason for that isn't because those characters are super viable and super strong. It's that they're general and they're strong, right? They can do a lot of different things and they're also strong. So draft mode allows you to actually pick around your opponents. Like, think, for example, a pick that's really, really, like, a character that's very, very solid and actually is pretty strong is Tyranitar. Mm-hmm. But it's only good into heavy melee compositions that like to shield themselves, right? So if the enemy team comp is like Wiggly and three melees, Tyranitar just absolutely shreds that. And you can pick that in draft mode, but you're not going to bring Tyranitar in a five stack on ladder just, you know, off the cuff just because you feel like
it's
it, right?
Tough line pick,
Well, no, you will, but.
I mean, are you going to succeed?
EU certainly does. EU loves T-Tar.
Does. and the T-Tar is having. So that's kind of my point. Is like,
right?
Yeah,
picks that tend to be a lot more niche,
or
picks that Slowbro is a very good example, right? Like, Slowbro is a character that's designed to specifically be good in counter hypermobile characters, right? So Zoroark, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the enemy team has Zoroark Absol, just pick Slowbro, right? You just eliminate one of them out of the fight before the fight even starts, and that's a really impactful pick. But if you're just on ladder, like, you don't just want to be slamming Slowbro every time necessarily, right? So that's, I think draft is super heavy for the game because it enables more character variety and more interesting decisions in terms of team compositions. Right, and you don't just have necessarily five people that are all queuing up DPS. Hopefully,
we'll see. They are adding a lot of DPS to the game. One last thing about your last note there is it adds variety, but also strategy. That's always been my biggest reservation around draft mode and things like that in the competitive game, because as a follower of the competitive scene, like, I play the game pretty casually compared to any competitive player by a large margin. I probably play more competitively than the average casual, but I'm somewhere in that middle. But my interest level in the game is completely focused on competitive. Obviously, that's all I watch, that's what I absorb. I get worried about a direction for the game that is only focused on Pokemon variety. If there is a direction for this game that's only focused on variety, a lot of skill just falls through the cracks, right? We don't get these defined metas. We don't get these metas being perfected. We don't get these players perfecting the Pokemon that are great in that meta. However, something like a draft mode is kind of the best of both worlds in that direction. We do get that little bit of variety, so whatever. Timmy at home can cheer the Cramorants on his screen, whatever. They get that, but we also just get, like, players actually being able to use their strategy in the draft lobby and getting to play some of their games. It also brings up hype moments, like, of course, we will, like, I'll take an example from last year. Let's grab Nudo and his Absol. If Nudo gets his Absol in a draft moment, in a tournament, that would be so hype if draft was around last year, right? No way! They let his Absol through? That's crazy! Now he gets to play Absol. Like, but we still get to see that specialist style, which I am really, really excited about. That is why I am, like, full on the train for draft. I wanted all of it. Competitive scene, obviously, give it all to me. Rapid fire quick, what is everybody's desire for amount of bans? We have 0 to 2 being allowed in the custom server. What do you guys want? 1 or 2 bans for each team in competitive. I personally would like to see... this is interesting. Give me 2. Just go over all of it. Lazanin, 2 or 1?
1. Can I provide a couple of quick thoughts? Because I didn't.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I moved on too quickly. Go ahead.
It's all good. I'll be quick. First of all, for casual fans that are, like, if you're listening to this and you're like, I really don't like this idea. Like, I'm not too sure. It adds a lot of timers to games. First of all, for the love of God, don't make every single pick 60 seconds Pokemon. Please, if you're listening, do not do that. That is going to be awful.
Yes. Dude, Switch gamers take another L. Come on, give me Charizard. They're trying to move their stupid stick in time. Continue.
I do not want 22 minutes. But anyway, so as far as, like, casual players go, I'm someone who does, like, I'll watch competitive league, but I mostly play league casually.
Right.
It's fine. Like, it's totally fine. You can one trick still most of the time. Most of the time, your one trick's not getting banned. You can, like, have fun. It's still, like, a totally fun experience just playing draft mode in league. Like, I play normal draft all the time.
Yep.
It's fine.
Don't one trick the best Pokemon in the game. It's probably like, the best advice
even
you can take.
Prime players.
Even rank, right? Like, if drafted didn't let you one trick, then why the fuck is half of NA's challenger scene in League one tricks? Like, seriously, count the amount of one tricks on the ladder. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then from a comp perspective, but from a comp perspective, it does actually alter that ability a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you like, one of the most efficient ways to practice last year, and this is something that several people did, was to just play one fucking character for 3 months.
Yeah. That's how you get good at anything, right? You specialize. Yeah, you just get really good at that.
Yeah, and there was just never any punishment for that, and that was always the best way to practice, because you played your one thing, and there was no real reason to... You know, Mr. Hoopa Jail, like, both of these guys are just Hoopa
Jail. Yeah, both of you were Hoopa Jail.
I liked it at first, then it just became depressing.
Yeah,
that's literally
Blissey Jail. Blissey Jail was worse. I'm sorry, Blissey Jail. Shout out to Gecko Kami. That man was, like, on mental health watch if I asked him to play Blissey more, and if he could, like, every scrim, it was like, can I just, like, get, like, that quick smoke of any other defender?
Dude.
Is just describing every single tank and support player for the last year. Like, please let us play something else.
That radically alters the way you have to structure your practice. It radically alters the way you have to structure scrims. Like, scrims are now more valuable. And like,
so much. You can hide stress. Oh my gosh. What a time.
Yeah. And speaking as a coach, great. Job security. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Anyway, that's the end of my thoughts.
Double the airtime as a caster. So,
really quick point that, like, I wonder if they will now make coach an official role on teams
instead of admin.
Maybe.
So you can only see one side.
No, like you know how, like, coaches for Worlds, like, we didn't get a spot or anything like that, like, as an official team thing. I wonder now with draft and them trying to, I obviously push towards a more competitive scene, if coaches will now be formally recognized. I think that would be very interesting for the competitive scene.
I think if that's going to ever happen, players, you need to keep advocating for something like that. We probably need more coaches in the scene. We need it to be a more popular request is probably realistically where it needs to get to.
We need more coaches. Please.
We need more coaches. is a big thing.
We're at right now?
We have like two.
I think we're actually at like two or three.
We have a few player coaches, but not dedicated coaches.
I'll say it's like literally me and Laz who have, I think, been dedicated coaches.
Sure. Yeah. We have a few smart players, is what Feppy just said. We have like some players that are pretty smart, but I don't know. Like, okay. Okay, very, very cool. All right, so we had you only want one ban, Lazadin. Junkie, how many bans do you want implemented in the game?
I think with the current rate that they're releasing characters and keeping that in mind for we have 6 months of a competitive season.
Yeah.
Set two in place. Even if it seems like overkill now, trust me, with the way that characters are releasing and the quality of how OP they are, we'll grow into it. It's
we'll
fine.
Swap into two after AOS Cup.
just change it. We do know UCS does like their rule changes in the middle of, you know, separate topic.
That is true, but also just shout out to literally half the teams being split opinion every single time. Like, two teams debating on whether which is which, but whatever. Feppy, how many bans do you want at the start of the season, I guess I'll say?
I'm gonna be the weirdo nerd close. I want one and one. One ban at the start and one ban halfway through.
Split the face.
I think that tends to be the best way to do bans. That would be cool. Have everything right at the start.
That would be cool. I don't know if we'll do it.
I don't think the Unite engineers can do that. That's too advanced for the billion-dollar Pokemon company. Let's be honest.
Hey, you asked what I wanted.
They're both at the start.
That is true. I did ask you to blow out the birthday candles on your birthday. Oh, speaking of which, happy birthday, Feppy!
Happy birthday, Feppy!
Oh my gosh, happy birthday, Feppy! Okay, wonderful. Okay, great.
I'm like 600 now.
I never do this on this podcast, but for everyone who is watching on YouTube and things like that, if you're going to leave a comment, let us know what you think of draft mode, if you're excited for it, if you're terrified of it, what it's going to look like. I think competitively, though, we can all be pretty psyched for it collectively. So very, very pumped for that being added to the game. Let's keep on moving. We have six held items to be talking about before we even get to Yuumi. So let's talk about these. Okay, we'll start with this first one. We have Drain Crown. Restores HP equal to percent of damage dealt with attack-based basic attacks. Its passive stats are HP and attack value are what are going to be increasing. We were talking about this a little bit off-air before the show. In my opinion, I think this is just Shell Bell for attack-based items. Other people in this call are more worried. Lassadin, I think you had some things to say about this item. What do you think of Drain Crown?
So the thing you have to remember with Unite descriptions is to never trust them.
Okay, fair. spoken like a person who has battled Unite descriptions before.
The current way lifesteal works in the game right now is actually in line with the description, to be fair. There's not any characters... Lifesteal as a stat only works on physical-based attacks and not on any spells whatsoever. You can't lifesteal off of Razorclaw, you can't lifesteal off of info like that.
Doesn't Delphox have, like, Vamp or whatever, though?
Yes, that's a different stat altogether.
Okay, good. Yeah, see, just proving how dumb I am on my own show.
So, Glaceon is who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
It is probable that this is just lifesteal.
Sure.
And if it's just lifesteal, then it really depends on the percentage how broken it is.
Yep.
If this is a physical shell bell, it is probably one of the worst items in the entire game.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking.
Like, it probably sucks.
Yeah.
But if it is just a percent lifesteal, then it's very character dependent. I would be very worried about stuff like Garchomp getting a little bit more lifesteal might be a little bit abusive.
Garchomp like is looking at this new roster of Battle Isles items, like rubbing his freaking giant claws together because this kid.
He just won his first tourney, like, ever this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he's super excited.
Let's go! My Garchomp stunks are through the roof. I'm very excited. Okay, got it. So description cannot be trusted. This item is very feast or famine. Could be broken. Could be terrible. Feppy or Junkie, any thoughts on this crown? I'm seeing, of course, Zent in chat saying, Age of Queen, put the crown on it. You don't even need to be in shield form anymore. Just put a crown on it, and you're good to go.
I'm gonna go on the ladder and find the best Razorleaf Decidueye one tricks, and I'm just going to pocket them with Trick. That's my plan when this thing comes out. I think Razorleaf Desi might actually just straight up win with this lifesteal item.
It's sort of the following. Night slash dead.
I mean... get tricked by the force and just dodge it. I don't
know. Yeah, just go
the
Phantom
thing
Force.
Is like, the thing is that this is one of those items that, again, kind of like going back to the Shedinja doll, is like, it's one of those items that, like, could be really, really cool and, like, could be good, but all at the same time, this could be very, very close to breaking the game.
Sure.
Right?
I feel like we're going to say that about a lot of the things that we're about to read.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this all depends on numbers, but a lot of the characters that have lifesteal on them now have them because they're physical auto attackers, right? So it's all of those characters are just only going to get better with this item, right? But I'm concerned about... I can't think of any examples right now, but I'm sure there's at least one example of a character that doesn't get inherent lifesteal that could use this character or use this item really well and will probably be a bit busted with it. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's at least a one.
Oh, I'm sure.
And if that's the case, then that might become a really big problem because there are some characters...
Only a reminder that Dodrio has a 0% lifesteal at all levels.
Yeah, so there you go.
Not
there's
anymore.
An example.
Put a crown on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is there's an example, right? Is that Dodrio might... Dodrio is already arguably the best character in the game right now, and then you give him this thing, you might just get even better. Like, that's a scary thought, right? Like,
yeah, that's true. That is true. Junkie, is the crown truly scary, or are we just all overreacting?
I'm deferring to the deity of data, Lazadin, for all opinions on items.
All right,
as where Lazadin, I steal Lazadin's brain, get their interpretation of things, and then try to apply it.
Okay. Yeah, and you speak it to the masses. You're like the prophet of the deity of Lazadin. You send me the info, I will preach it to Aeos Frontier.
Actually, there has been many times where Laz knows throughout UCS where it's like, I had an idea of how something worked. I went to Laz. Laz would be like, yes, this works. Yes, this is, like, best build, and then I would have to, like, preach open people's ears with like a metal device for them to hear the gospel and like look at the numbers. So, but I would say again, like, I unfortunately, this is going to probably be my opinion for a lot of these things. Kind of similar to my earlier opinion with like Ursi, was that like, is it going to be a stat check? You know what I mean? Sure. Like, I think the only thing that I'm interested in is in this meta, there are not many extended team fights. This seems to be an item that will benefit from extended team fights.
Right.
I can see a world where the meta shifts towards Venusaur extended team fight sort of brawls, and this then coming into meta. But in the current kind of I blink and I die meta, even if it's good, I'm kind of like, death timers aren't that long.
Yeah.
And like, your recall isn't that long, so I don't know. So I would say, like, oh, I'm kind of iffy.
Very important thing I forgot to specify. If this is true lifesteal, it is worth noting that no lifesteal works on shields. Which might hurt this item a little bit.
Ah, there's barely any shields in this game, don't worry about it.
Nobody has shields in this game, come on.
Let's take a look at the Rapid Fire Scarf. It's not Choice Scarf. My prediction was wrong. I'm very upset about it. My profit is definitely incorrect. Okay, Rapid Fire Scarf. Increase your Pokemon basic attack speed by percent for a short time after 3 basic attacks. Garchomp just cruising. Decidueye with Razor Leaf potentially also cruising. What are our opinions on the scarf? Does anybody think there's another Pokemon that I'm missing that just absolutely wins with this item? Cinder, maybe?
You guys think my 100k damage Aldegoss games are large now? Yeah, they're about to get a little bit bigger.
Okay.
This item is going to be nuts. Like, a lot of characters that... A thing that I think a good amount of people are probably going to miss with this item at first is that there's a lot of characters that don't necessarily... Like, that don't just use their auto attacks for raw damage. Like, Aldegoss is a... That's why I bring it up.
Right.
Is a very, very good example of a character that just... It's not just raw damage, it's decent damage on the autos, but also that 30% slow, like, just permanently attached to you is insanely hard to get away from, right?
Nightmare fuel,
and then you give Aldegoss an item like this, and it's just, like, you're permanently 30% slowed, you're never, ever getting away, like, you just are constantly getting chunked by Muscle Band autos, like, this type of item is going to be really, really insane on a character like Aldegoss, and then let alone like stuff like Cinderace, right? Like, but Cinderace could theoretically get a lot of value out of this potentially, depending on how auto attacking stacks. I'm not gonna know the math behind that, and we don't know the numbers yet, so we don't know.
Lazadin is looking like they have a point that they need to say. So, Laz, what are you?
This item is going to make people a gasket. That is all I'm gonna say.
Okay,
but no, seriously. So basically, here's the thing: attack speed in this game is fucking weird.
Correct.
So either this thing is enough attack speed that it actually could affect Cinderace or Granite like that, and that makes it broken on literally every single support character. I'm not joking. It takes a good like 40% attack speed boost for you to have a like for this to be like any at all decent on a Cinderace late game. It could be like level scaling, but if it is, that's an entirely different problem.
Sure.
If it isn't level scaling and it is not a big boost, then it's never going to be useful on any of the ADC characters because a lot of them are very close to their caps. And if it's not level scaling and it's a big boost, then all of a sudden you've got Eldegoss holding A on you for like 400 damage at level 4 or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Throw some
and like that's
what
you're
getting
into like some of the abusive cases like Mamoswine. Like,
yes, correct.
Where you can actually
No.
And like,
speaking of Pokemon that absolutely harvest on draft mode, Mamoswine, I think, is just up there. Defenders in general, maybe, actually. But yeah, anyway, yes, continue, Lazo.
So, one way or another, this is going to be a very complicated item to actually figure out all of its use cases.
Yep.
I'm not going to like, this isn't like self promo or anything. I don't get paid for any of this shit.
Yeah, but yeah. Exclamation mark, math cord. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Let's make this clear. I'm saying I think it's still my pinned tweet. There's an attack speed calculator there. That will, once we understand how the item works, that will tell you about how effective it is on your favorite character. And I would not equip this on any character until we understand how it works, because it could be completely, utterly fucking useless.
All right, I'm
scared. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes, fear is natural here. I think that is fine. totally fine. Okay, Junkie, agreeing with Lazanin, of course.
Yeah, short and sweet. I would say the only thing that I'm interested in is possibly just how it affects lane matchups. I think there, especially with draft, it could be a very interesting world where you take this item into certain matchups and now you can win a lane that you previously could not win in. So I think that's the only interesting thing that I find about it.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, fair enough. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on, because we're kind of going over time already, and we have a whole new Pokemon to talk about after this. We have more held items that are being added to the game. We don't have any descriptions. I don't exactly know what that means. That could mean they're not releasing at the same time. Potentially, maybe they're not finished yet. That could just be not true at all. They just could just not have their descriptions in there yet.
It is noting that emblems were missing some of their stats, and they were released on that same patch.
Okay, interesting. So we probably have it then. We have Slick Spoon, a special attack item, Curse Bangle, an attack item, Curse Incense, a special attack item, and Rescue Hood, which is going to give HP and move speed. Let's just each throw out maybe a prediction of something like this. Anybody have? I think Rescue Hood will be like another buddy barrier esque item. I think it will be do X and gain X benefit, is my opinion for Rescue Hood. Maybe some kind of support based item. Any other thoughts on what this could potentially be, or anyone thoughts on any of these items?
I'm tempted. The Curse Bangle, the Curse Incense, I sort of want them to work how Life Orb works in Pokemon, where you get increased attack and special attack, but then you like lose HP per ability. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a very interesting...
Pokemon Go is a similar mechanic with their Shadow Pokemon. They do more damage, but they receive more damage.
Yep.
So that could be another fair trade. I mean, just lowers your defenses, could be.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, I think that would be really interesting. And yeah, I think Rescue Hood, I have a feeling that it's going to be super insane on supports.
Yep, should be fun. Feppy, any general, you know, bold predictions on any of these words?
every item that has had HP and move speed on it for stats tends to be an item for supports, so Rescue Hood's probably a support item. Any full special attack items tend to be items specifically for mages, so those are probably for mages. And then
no more triple glasses. Are we done with triple glasses? Maybe. Yeah.
And I hope that they introduce more. If both of these curse, I'm assuming that they're called curse items, right? They probably have some massive negative effect in exchange for whatever they give you, right?
Yeah.
I hope that type of space gets explored more with items as we get more and more into the game, because I think that's a really, really interesting mechanic, and that's like a huge like risk reward sort of mechanic, right? Like, imagine if like curse bangles like increase your attack by like 30% or something, but like you lose 20% of your max HP, right? I think most Cinderaces are going to consider that, right? Like, just to be able to absolutely shred through teams, right? And I think that type of risk reward playstyle and items is pretty awesome.
Dude, curse mangle, your attack goes up, but if you are within the attack distance of a wild Pokemon, they always target you no matter what. You always pull aggro from wild Pokemon no matter what. This item would be absurd. Ooh,
wait,
not
supports. Wait, supports might run that.
Yeah, absolutely they would. This would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be an advantage. What?
Hire me, Tim. Okay, Lazanin, any bold predictions on any of these items?
So the fact that they're releasing the two curse items in a pair makes me think that their effects are probably similar. And also, there has been a very large outcry recently within the community of, hey, we need more ways to stop healing, because currently the only grievous wounds in the game is Delphox Unite, and I don't need to tell you what happens to a Delphox if a Venusaur presses its ult on it. That's kind of the problem with that matchup.
That's true.
So it could be possible that these are both like grievous wounds type items from League, where they decrease healing. As far as Rescue Hood, it's almost
solo queue items, baby. You're never getting healed anyways. Bring it in. Well, sorry, go ahead. Rescue Hood?
Rescue Hood, it's almost certainly a support item. The only other HP and movement speed item in the game is XP Share. Panic Fissure is quite frankly one of the most overpowered items in the entire game. It is not anywhere near abused enough.
Yeah, please don't touch it though. I love it. don't touch it. But yes, Spoon, it is strong.
Slick Spoon, I suspect to be a more defensively oriented magic item. I think it will be something like upon hitting a spell, gain a small boost of movement speed for special attackers. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Delphox keeps schmoving, basically, is what we're saying. Something. Okay, cool. Well, we don't know too much about this, so let's keep on cruising. One thing we do know about that we have a bunch of stats for some Pokemon, but we have a... Okay, one more little thing. Battle passes and other things can be gifted to people. Whatever. We'll talk about that on a different podcast. Does anybody have any strong opinions on that? Yeah, big old neat, I think, is what we're going in.
Yay, Unite needs more money.
That is true. That is, yeah, giveaways will be easier because then you get to friend the people, but whatever. Comfy is being added to the game. The Ring of Flowers is finally getting added to Pokemon Unite. We have a Yumi, everyone. We've done it. We have the AFK support Pokemon. We have some photos of gameplay as well. Take a look at this. Lucario is getting their Honolulu on. We just have Comfy chilling, giving their aura and buffs over to Lucario. This Pokemon does have some interesting mechanics when it... as time goes on, it earns more flowers. When it goes into the tall grass, it earns 4 flowers, all the way up to a max of 8. When it uses any of its moves, it expends those flowers for more powerful effects per flowers expended. You get it. But the big thing that I think most people are turning their heads for in this Pokemon is that it has Yumi-like effects from League of Legends. Basically, this Pokemon can attach to other Pokemon, giving them buffs, giving them heals, but most importantly, completely immune from damage in any way. And the scoring mechanic is one interesting thing that we need to talk about, and then I'll bring it open to discussion. When an ally this Pokemon is attached to gains more AO synergy than the maximum it can hold, this Pokemon takes the excess. So we're going to have Comfy picking up any extra AO synergy that you could not fit, and when the ally Pokemon this Pokemon is attached to scores a goal, this Pokemon scores the same amount of energy. It really seems like they're just trying to make it so scoring is still a strategy of this Pokemon, despite being completely heal and support focused. But all that being said, what do we think of Comfy and the new game mechanics that it's bringing to Pokemon Unite? Junkie, I feel like we haven't started with you yet. Junkie, what are your thoughts on Comfy?
It's going to be so fucking toxic, and okay. I'm so excited. It's going to be so toxic and wonderful, and I'm excited. I think there's going to be a lot of fun trade patterns in lane with this Pokemon to really min-max it. I think it will probably be permanently banned in competitive, like Yumi was in League, until they completely dumpstered it, and even then it still got picked just because of
it had 100% win rate in Worlds this year. And crazy ban rate, obviously. Yeah. The character was insane. But yes, Comfy, it doesn't seem exactly the same as Yumi, but very similar playstyle.
Very similar.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think another thing is going to be interesting is what Pokemon it enables to become meta because of its ability to, you know, be attached to them and, you know, give them, you know, cover up some of their weaknesses or what, you know, et cetera. I think it makes sense to have a Pokemon like this. They're really encouraging, you know, Unite players to play with friends and different things like that. And it's that was their point with Yumi, is that like they talked about like League is such an intense front heavy game to get new players into. They wanted more Pokemon, not Pokemon. League had Pokemon. That'd be sick.
League really wanted Pokemon though. Can we just be clear? Right, they really wanted Pokemon.
Right. they wanted to have that accessibility. So again, with similar to Yumi, it's all about stats. I think Yumi had the unique thing of a lot of its kit was innately powerful, similar to almost like Thresh, where it didn't really matter what the numbers were because the kit had so much innate power or CC, et cetera. And like Yumi had the ult, which was insane for engages and things like that. And then the movement speed to help get it out, et cetera. So I think I'm very curious to where they go with this Pokemon. I think it could have a very high skill ceiling, and I think it could also be absolute trash where you're getting shit on in lane because someone like, oh, well, let me just AFK attach to you. Like, everyone knows, like, any competitive you meet, it's like, all right, that's like a red flag. Woo-woo, like, sure, you don't know what you're doing, right? So I think my gut tells me we're going to be pleasantly surprised by this Pokemon, but I'm also not willing to put money on that because of the Unite's history of Pokemon releases and kits and things like that. But
I don't know where you're finding this hopium, but you have found
my hopium. I think is just because, like, I, you know, I'm support player, league support player in this game, thing, whatever, etc. Like a supportive player, and I like the idea of having a role that fulfills that, and this will hopefully open up tank, I think, is the side benefit from having to be on Blissey duty, right? Like, if we have this, then it's like, we, like, the different matchups of, like, okay, Eldegoss and Blissey versus Comfy and Mamo, or Comfy and Snorlax, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, these mix and matches that I'm very interested in seeing what works, and, like, the idea of, I don't know, like, it feels very satisfying when there's a hyper carry on your team and you're just giving them all the resources and they just get to go god mode. And I think that, like, that's fun to me. I think that's really cool, and being able to enable that is fun. I'm interested how, like, the one, like, little tidbit thing I'm interested in is if it counts as standing on the pad when you score, like, as standing as two Pokemon, or if it's one. I think that can make or break.
Does it speed up goal scoring?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, does it count as two Pokemon on it while you score? Because then I think that could then be super broken for stacking and early laning and different things like that. So there's a lot of possibilities.
And do the scores happen simultaneously? Can you get a 200-point dunk?
Ooh!
No!
It's doomed. We're doomed.
So yeah, I'm excited. I look forward to it.
Okay. Yeah. No. I think I'm being a little bit converted here. Feppy, you are the other support main here. Latin, and I actually don't know what role you choose to main in Unite, but Feppy, I know for a fact you are a support main. What are you thinking about the Ring of Flowers, Comfy?
I'm worried.
Okay. Sure. Let's talk about it.
Like, this character could be really, really interesting. I do think that having a support for the mobile characters of the game, give it to E-Speed Lucca, give it to Dodrio,
I think that's a great combo. Yeah,
I think having that is, like, something that's important.
Yeah,
but I also think that just being able to attach to a Dodrio and just have them bowl over the entire enemy team is like, again, Dodrio is already so stupid. Pretty much all of the most broken mons in the history of this game have all been hyper mobile DPS, right? So putting Comfy on hyper mobile DPS, which have all tended to be the most broken mons of the game, and then you have a support that enables those characters even more, it's like, it makes me a little bit worried. And there's other things too that worry me. Like, for example, one of the main mechanics is, like, picking up flowers and, like, in the bushes to, like, empower your abilities, right?
Uh-huh. You're getting mad at my Stardew Valley mechanics? I don't understand.
No. So you pick up four flowers, right? And you can get up to eight. Huh? I can walk into two bushes in, like, less than half a second.
Correct.
So I could pick up eight flowers and, like, almost instantaneously, and then attached to my target. Like, in most areas of the map, you can do that.
Right.
Like, an easy example is in
Would
top
you rather
lane.
Just
I literally,
use weak
I can literally
abilities
walk
all the time? Like, I don't know. But I think so, this is, like, a good
beginning. I'm pretty concerned about that in terms of balance. Like, if I'm playing top lane and I'm a Comfy and I just walk and I just stand in bot left L, I walk up into the bush right next to the goal, and then I have eight flowers, it's like, did I really work for that? You know, like, did I really
you were thinking the wrong way when thinking about this,
like,
Pokemon.
And that's my point, right? Is, like, right. I like super high skill, intense supports, and I don't know. I think this character could have the potential to have some interesting plays and some interesting skill flexibility stuff, but I'm a bit worried because I'd much rather stick to my high skill stuff like Hoopa. And if this character is, like, super low skill and then I'm forced to play it, it's like I'm just playing a different Blissey Jail, and I don't like that. You know,
I think the biggest concern there is that, like, there could be big skill moments in here. Muck is already defending Yumi in our chat, but I like there could be big skill moments, great interactions. The problem that I think most of us are afraid of is that it doesn't need that to find success. Like, that's the problem, is that just unskilled players could soar up in rank, but we kind of already have that problem, so maybe I'm just, you know, creating a problem twice. But Lazanin, thoughts on the Comfy Pokemon?
Okay. So we had Hopium, we had Copium, and now I'm going to give you the Doomium.
Oh, no.
There's one positive I can imagine to this mon being in the game. I'm being a little bit negative, like, extra on purpose. Like, I'm not going to say it's that bad, but like, we'll just play it up a little bit.
Yeah.
The one positive of this mon being in the game is, I don't know if you guys have ever watched this, but there's a video of a guy hitting Diamond in League by playing ADC with his mouse and keyboard and by playing Yumi with his feet.
Yes.
Legend.
Yeah, Breadbox is saying that.
Content.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be a Spraggles video the second this Pokemon releases, man. I don't know what we're talking about.
To hit like 1600 or something, playing Comfy with their feet and playing Luca with their hands. It's going to be hilarious.
This is a Curio squad, like, for sure.
Like, yeah, absolutely. for sure. Now for the Doom. This is the kit, from what we've seen of it, is very uninteractive. It is not good to have uninteractive things. Yumi is a very, very toxic character design. It is infamously so. Mm-hmm. If Yumi is at all playable, it is really, really bad for the health of the game. And when I say at all playable, I mean there are constant, like, Reddit posts and Twitter threads about how Yumi should be fucking deleted when it's at 45% win rate. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be one of the worst characters in the entire game, and it still constantly gets rage threads. It still constantly pisses people off. Now, to be fair, Comfy doesn't look as uninteractive as Yumi. It has some of the similar mechanics where it encourages you to detach in order to, you know, like, pick up flowers or whatever. Sure. Yeah. Doesn't change the fact that there will be some cases where you just feel completely powerless because this thing is just healing and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't kill, like, you know, if a Blissey ults someone, you can kill the Blissey, and, like, then they lose the damage reduction from the ult. They can't be healed anymore. It's fine. It's not the most interactive thing in the world, but, like, you still interact with it. What are you going to do? Like, actually, what are you doing?
Do you Slowbro Unite it? Slowbro Unite, still the only thing that goes through most things? Does it knock a Comfy off?
Currently, Slowbro Unite does not work on Invulnerable. That is a thing that it does not do.
Interesting.
You can test this yourself on Zoroark.
Oh, no. I did not know that.
There's a 20 frame window where you cannot slow or unite Zoroark. It doesn't matter anyway. You can just mash the button. And
right.
20 frames isn't very long, but
yeah. Bold of you to assume I'm frame perfecting my Slowbro unites, but fair enough.
But, like, you know, someone's invulnerable for a whole 5 seconds, so that's a little problematic.
Sure.
I don't see a world where this is healthy. I don't see a world where this is fun. I really, really do not like this addition. I am a big hater.
Yeah. And I think that opinion is completely fair. I think Junkie's opinion of it, like, if you were somewhat more excited about this Pokemon, I think it's okay too. I think I fall a little bit more on the cautiously excited. Here's the thing. I'm excited this Pokemon exists. I want it to be bad. Like, I do not want it to be the meta pick ever. Like, I want this to be a casual Pokemon you throw. I want this to be the A9 of supports. I want you to be able to have a decent time with it in ranks. You know, just fun. Walk around. I want to be the Buzzwole tank of solo queue. I want it to be... I'm just going directly after Feppy. I want it to be...
He's just naming
there.
All the characters I like.
Exactly,
to play
yes. I don't want it to be involved in the competitive scene. I just, from a caster perspective... Woof. But that's a whole new can of worms. But anyway, that's my opinion on Comfy. I actually am genuinely excited, though, for the prospect of map interaction being a part of the kit. Flower collecting, a very, very low level. However, they're not going to do this. They're not. But if they did, if they made it like Skarner from League, where there's literal visual elements that you can see on the map when a Comfy is selected, like, all of a sudden the tall grass has flowers in it. But if those flowers get picked by Comfy, they're not there anymore until they grow back or something. That would be kind of cool. Like, if you could see what bushes could give them flowers and what you couldn't and stuff, that's fun. And if you're, like, Comfy fighting a Comfy, you, like, steal their flowers and navigate. That's not going to happen. It would be super cool if it did, though. I would be excited. I've wanted a bush stalker, like, you know, the ones where they can teleport between bushes. I think that would be a really fun Pokemon to be in Unite. Dupes next time, I've been preaching Kecleon for a long time. Would be a really fun Pokemon to do something like that. But anyways, all that to say, I think the new edition of the Pokemon will be... It'll be rough, but we're getting a lot of other cool additions as well, so I'm not too worried about it. Competitive-wise, it's going to be a bit mid, but hey, if this is the kind of thing you want to bring into your solo queue games, then Comfy is there for you. We have the stat blocks for Dragapult and Comfy and things like that. I do not want to go into them, even though we have, you know, the literal stat folks on this podcast. We have just talked for so, so long. It's about time we bring this show.
I refuse to comment on them anyway, for the record.
Perfect. Love to hear that. big fan.
It is not a... Don't make assumptions off of PTL stats. It is not good for your health.
Yes. Nope. Absolutely correct. Could not agree more. The track record of that place, not the spot to go. But thank you, everyone, for joining us to talk about all these things. Thank you so much to the three of you for joining me on this show and discussing all of these things. We have so much coming to Competitive Unite. New Pokemon, obviously, that are coming at a rapid breakneck pace still, even after I thought a lot of those would be for Anniversary. We're still keeping up with that crazy pace. We have Draft Mode coming in. We have just... more held items and battle items. So much to talk about. We really did on this show. We talked for like almost an hour and 10, an hour 15. So definitely overtime. But thank you everyone for joining me. I want to give each of you though the chance to plug all of your stuff, any content you're making, any place that people can follow you on the internet, sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do. The stage is yours. Feppy, you first.
If you want to see me and check out some of my content, I'm on Twitter. You can check me out at the FeppyTTV on Twitter. You can find me streaming on Twitch, you know, 4 or 5 times a week at the FeppyTTV.
Marvel Snap.
I have a YouTube and Marvel Snap. I haven't been doing too much with the YouTube. I kind of fell away with it because of surgery stuff. But I have FeppyTTV on YouTube as well if you guys want to check it out. I just most recent thing I did was actually today. I did the Mew challenge where I only played with a single Mew moveset and one with all 9 Mew movesets without changing any of them during the game. So that was fun.
Wow.
You want to see stuff like that? Check me out.
Are you allowed to press the move reset button for Unite Charge?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
I went 9-3. I went 9-3.
There you go.
It was pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. Junkie, your turn.
At JunkieGS on Twitter, AOS Frontier Discord. Look forward to seeing what I do once UCS season starts. I would say I'm kind of like in my hibernation period, I think, as a lot of pro players are, as we kind of feel out what's going to be happening as the season approaches. But I am still like, I love this game because of its competitive scene, and I'm very much looking forward to doing everything in my power to platform competitive players, platform the competitive scene, grow it, make it more entertaining and enriching to the community. And you're kind of like, if you're listening to this, you're our target demographic, so like feel free to true. Like interact with us. Like I think this is my own opinion, I think we dropped the ball on a lot of community building this first season, and I think with a lot of the new changes, new Pokemon, new excitement that's kind of being bred into this game, I would love for us to do more community fostering activities and focusing on that in this competitive season. So stay tuned to that. Get excited.
Okay, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. That's exciting. I'm a big fan of community building. You know that. So I'm pretty stoked for that. Lazadin, how about you? Sell out, shout out. Stage is yours.
Okay. I've got three hats I need to wear here. First of all, my own. I stream every Monday at the very minimum, twitch.tv/Lazadin1, I think. Or is it 11? It is one of those two. I don't know.
Sort that.
Off the top of my head. I typed something in the chat earlier. You can find it.
I do that everybody.
Thank you. I do that every Monday, bare minimum. My team, Team Ascended, rebranded from Blackhand. We actually just launched our Twitter, so follow that.
Oh, sick.
Ascended Unite. We'll be also launching a YouTube channel, which will be announced there. We've got team content on the way. Very, very soon. It's going to be awesome. And then as far as my third hat goes, Unite DB and Math Court, I'm going to very, very please be patient with us these next couple of months.
Yes.
We already have had a little bit of burnout from how frequently the patches are coming out and how it's late crazy. They're coming out. Fucking 2 a.m. like, it's ridiculous. Like, so just please be patient with us, especially with the size of the upcoming patches. It may take UniteDB a couple of days to be updated.
Okay.
And, like, we're doing our best, I promise.
Yes. Chat, be nice, please. Jeez.
Tweet Lazadin to take a nap and or break. You can do it at any time. It will always be relevant when patch days are alive. It will always be applicable.
Yeah, that's true. That is
I sleep
true.
An average of 4 hours on patch days. I am not going to lie. Gosh.
All right. Well, either tweet him and take a nap or send him some beer money. Whatever it takes. Sorry. Yeah. Send them whatever they need at that time, please. Okay. So, everybody, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. Of course, you can check out this show on any podcast feed at Overdunk. Check it out. Leave a review if you're already there. Helps more people find the show. More people find competitive Pokemon Unite scene, obviously. Otherwise, twitch.tv Unite Mics. You can watch these episodes recorded live. YouTube.com/UniteMics. Everything gets uploaded there. All kinds of content. Yes, London was dope. Let's all show up our swag. Yes, everybody, go follow those places. We have Dupesnax and I have some really cool commentary videos coming up very, very soon on that channel as well. We're trying to put out more tourney commentary. I've had the time to record some tourney matches on weekends finally, so some more of those are coming out. And then the final one is this Sunday, I believe, is Sneaky Summit tournament, right? Is that correct? I believe so. Yep. So this Sunday, Sneaky Summit tournament, an invitational for quite a few players. They're going to be playing some regional based teams. It's going to be really, really fun. I'm going to be casting with Sneaky on their channel, so check it out. Should be a ton of fun. Wonderful, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the show. My name has been Zoinks. They have been Lazadin Junkie and Beppy. They are some of the best Unite players in the entire world. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.